many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering The Death of Superman.
Getting our tissues ready for when we cry.
I'm embarrassed to say I actually did.
I felt a little bit sad, if that helped.
For this, we are joined by a very special guest, one of our many, many Superman experts, and I believe, did you not also appear in the last time we covered The Death of Superman?
Yeah, for Superman Doomsday.
Yes. So, returning is Connor McKenna.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Hooray.
And are these, like, the only things these two movies have in common is, like, Doomsday kills Superman? Like, yeah. Other than that, they're completely different, which
they
is good.
They are so different. I mean, like, just the whole vibe of the films are different.
I think as well, because I'm like, because Doomsday, it's kind of, it almost seems to be desperate to get the Doomsday bit out of the way.
Yeah.
And almost go, there, he's dead now. Okay, we'll now do the thing that we actually want to do, which is a story about Lex Luthor and the clone Superman and the returning Superman. Well, that's what the movie actually wanted to be about.
Well, the Doomsday in that was, like, yeah, he was a vehicle to, like, he was, I guess he was, I mean, he's a plot device anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, the film is not about, like, it's called Doomsday, but it's not, yeah, it's not about Doomsday. He's just, he's what kicks off everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all the, yeah, he kicks off the whole plot by, so they put it at the start.
And I think also it's quite you can tell this is one part of a continuing story, and two, it's so obvious by the end, okay, we're setting up a sequel. This is a two-part story.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you say that because you know that that's what happens. But I would say that we've had just as many films with little teasers at the end that haven't come to anything.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't take that away from it. Like, if we hadn't, before we started recording properly, started talking about sequels, I would have, if you'd said this is it, I wouldn't have been surprised, because we have seen other ones that have had then these little, oh, if we come back, here's a little. So, I mean, it's not a given with these films.
Yeah.
It makes sense while you say it, and obviously I know from talking to Connor many times about the comics, which I've not read, but always want to, but then get very confused about them. It makes sense that it would carry on. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that I don't think it's necessarily a given.
I also do like that because it's called The Death of Superman, there is this kind of inevitability about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that fact that it's, you can, like, for example, and to invoke it, unlike the Snyderverse film where the death of Superman comes out of nowhere, almost. Mm. They're just going to go, oh, and Doomsday's here, so you know what's going to happen. But it's not built to, like, for instance, this film, which literally goes, no, we're going to spend an hour and 20 minutes building to one thing.
Yeah.
Which starts with, I believe this is the first time we've had the proper fancy DC intro logo with, like, five different animated superheroes and And yeah, very yeah. much them going, see, we can do an overblown introduction to Marvel.
I don't know if the Marvel was particularly overblown, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that little intro.
I liked
the
it as
Justice
well.
League members. Yep. I mean, I was around at the time. I mean, we were all around at the time when it was coming out, but I was paying attention at the time it was coming out.
That makes more sense,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Because, so this was, like, really big for Superman fans. Like, I mean, we'd had Superman die before and stuff, so we weren't really, like, we didn't really care about the fact that it was about the death of Superman. It's just, like, it had been so long since we'd gotten a Superman movie,
mm-hmm.
Especially an animated Superman movie. Like, it had been ages. I think Unbound was the last one, or whatever.
The last pure Superman movie was... I'll tell you how long ago it is. It's actually no longer in... So I keep, like, Excel spreadsheet, which is everything that we cover. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So there's at least 14 movies have come out since the last Superman.
Yeah.
Probably more, and that's at least a couple of years as well.
It was.
Might well be Unbound. I think Unbound. Yeah, Unbound is. So.
Yeah, that's what Connor was guessing. So that's crazy.
Because we've been waiting for a Superman movie.
2013, so that's 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years.
So it's the same time as Man of Steel, and we wanted our Man of Steel sequel, and we got it hijacked by Batman, and then we got this. We got this new universe, and we were kind of waiting for a solo Superman film, but they just kept announcing like five Batman movies, and then when you had like two Teen Titans ones, so yeah. At least that was like not Batman, but still, it's like every other member of the Justice League, like none of them have gotten their own movie until this. So like we were excited, like, oh hey, it's a Superman movie, you know? And we went to like the cinema to see it, because I actually played it at the cinema, one of the cinemas here.
Yeah, a lot of these films do have like a setup where they do a they'll do a 1 day cinema release.
They did not do it for Man of Tomorrow, unfortunately. But...
Oh, that's a shame.
No, they didn't. Yeah, because that's the next. So I don't know. It's weird because the next. So this is the DC animated movie universe. And now apparently a bunch... So, Man of Tomorrow, Justice Society, World War II, the two Batman The Long Halloween films, and the Green Lantern film that came out this year are all apparently part of... And it's simultaneously called either the Rebirth Universe or the Tomorrowverse.
Makes sense. Makes no sense, I mean. Like, this is why people get confused. That's what I get confused. I either assume that they're all one big mess or none of them are connected with one another.
There's two sequels to that universe that are coming out next year, which are... Because I updated... That's one other thing. I updated the spreadsheet yesterday.
Yeah, I have it. I haven't looked at it.
I don't think they're as connected as this universe is.
No, they don't seem to be.
Like the Justice Society, like... Like, you see Man of Tomorrow, Superman in it, but it's like that. I think that's about like, yeah, they share a universe, but it's not like a big plot that's sort of going along.
I mean, that's, let's be honest, when has DC ever been consistent on this since, when did Batman vs. Superman come out? They've never really, I mean, it's, yeah, anyway, getting on to the actual film. So, the film starts with Intergang kidnapping the mayor.
Yeah.
And wearing incredibly powerful suits.
Yeah, it was weird for me, because, like, they looked a bit like they're in AIM, to use the Marvel thing. Just isn't very scary. So even though everyone was talking about these very powerful suits, I was just like, "Come on, Superman, it's gonna take him out."
Well, they even mentioned
that they're like, "We got to get out of here before the man upstairs shows up," because it was just, you know.
Yep. So they know.
It was neat to see Dan Turpin and Maggie Sawyer, the two cops, are both Superman characters.
Oh, right. Cool.
Oh, are they actual, like, known characters? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember her, actually. That makes sense. Yes, I do. I think we've seen her some, or read her somewhere. In some.
Dan Turpin actually gets killed by Darkseid in the Superman animated series.
Oh, nice.
In a great moment, that's also kind of hilarious, because Superman beats back his invasion and Darkseid's like, I'm leaving, but screw you, then vaporizes Dan Turpin on the spot. And just leaves.
Darkseid is.
Mm.
Maggie Sawyer gets engaged to one character in Supergirl and a different character in the Arkham universe. Both of them are tied into superheroes, though. So she seems to be very much, yeah, shows up in Supergirl as she becomes Alex Danvers' partner, and in Arkham Knight it's implied that Maggie Sawyer and Kate Kane are married.
Right.
So, yeah, she seems to be, oh, we need a lesbian partner. Let's get Maggie Sawyer. Why not?
To be fair, she was always like that. Like, she had a husband, and then she went the other way after they broke up. But, I mean, her and Dan Turpin are the Superman cop characters.
Right.
Because if you have a superhero and they have, like, a city as their neighborhood, you know, generally you probably want, like, a cop character to ground it a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is kind of
a nice comparison, isn't it, what the superheroes do versus
the exactly.
cops on the street do.
Yeah.
So, the one other thing is that the Intergang appeared to have a Muller box of some description.
Mm.
Yes, oh, that's right, that's cool.
We then cut to, so there's a quick title card. Superman talks to Bippo Babowski, who I take it is a known entity in the comic books. I think this is the first time we've seen him.
He's definitely a... Bippo and Maggie came around in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, from like, you know, this sort of era. But, yeah, Bippo is a fan-favorite character.
Oh, cool. I quite liked him, yeah, that was good.
Lovable goof. But he used to be a bit more of a criminal in the comics.
Right.
In fact, there's one point in the comics where Lobo's beating Superman up, so Bibbo becomes Lobo's fan because Lobo's stronger.
Right.
But he becomes a bit more endearing later on.
Also, speaking of fan favorites, Jimmy Olsen's there.
Yay! I like him.
And then we actually get... So that's one other thing. I don't know about the original comic book, but one other thing I like more than Superman Doomsday is the fact, oh yes, the Justice League is here. They exist.
Yeah. The original comic, funnily enough, so at the time there was two Justice Leagues. There was Justice League of America and Justice League International. And International had, like, Green Lantern... And then a bunch of other dudes in JLA had Superman, Guy Gardner, Maxima, Fire and Ice. Like, so that was the Justice League. So they did come up to fight Doomsday, but, like, there was no Wonder Woman, Batman. Right. None of those people were present in the comic when the fight went down. I mean, this is completely different to the comic. Really, the only similarity is the fact that Doomsday is kind of built up from the start and... Yeah. They fought. Like, that's about it.
So, Flash and Cyborg arrive to help the cleanup. It turns out that the suits that Intergang were wearing was using metal from Apocalypse, and obviously there's also the Muller boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's taken away to be analysed. Also, Superman decides to introduce Lois to his parents, and then 5 minutes later, Clark ends up introducing Lois to his parents.
All this stuff, like Superman taking photos of people and, like, seeing Clark Kent, it at the time, it felt so nice to have a Superman movie. Mm. Like, yeah. You know,
I really enjoyed watching all that stuff.
I don't think we've seen Clark Kent in this universe, right? Like,
no, we haven't.
Just Superman and possessed Superman, who's awesome because he has black eyes and he flies around. But yeah, so again, like watching this movie was like a breath of fresh air, and like even seeing like Cyborg, like the other League members, like have good character moments as well, even though it's not their movie. So it was nice to see love for like other characters at the time that weren't Batman. Yeah.
Also, they do have, they establish, Star Labs is looking at Superman's ship that he arrived on Earth on, and that there's a repository of Kryptonian information, and Superman's basically becoming more public about his origins.
Yeah.
I also like that this film does get the idea of, No, you can believe that Clark isn't Superman because the way he acts and the way he holds himself, and he just does, there's enough of a kind of diversion that you can actually believe, you can see why people wouldn't make the connection.
I mean, potentially, yeah. I mean, I think it's always easier to do in things like animation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, there's like real life examples. No one recognized Zooey Deschanel without bangs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh no, for sure. Like, didn't Henry Cavill stand in Times Square?
Yeah, no one
with glasses on, and no one recognized him.
It's like if you're like Superman's at the Daily Planet, then you might be able to find him. But if you're just not expecting him there, and there's no reason to think, you know, the only time the time is really unbelievable for me is in Lois and Clark from the 90s. Because Dean Cain is just so distinct looking. So yeah, he doesn't really act any different. But
so as so Superman's then talking to Cyborg and Dr. Stone. The hint that Cyborg and his father still aren't quite on the best terms relationship wise. I mean, that doesn't go anywhere, but at least it's kind of keeping him with, I believe that was something from a previous film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like continuing his arc, at least. You know, giving a nod to it.
They also, I still find it weird, because I still remember there was one time Michael B. Jordan shows up as the voice of Cyborg.
When?
Flashpoint.
Oh, let it count.
I mean, it's very modulated, but it is actually Michael B. Jordan.
You'd think if you got Michael B. Jordan, why would you
to
modulate it?
To be fair, it was 2014, so he hadn't really broken through yet. But still.
That's crazy.
So John Irons shows up, who had a cameo in an earlier film. Superman saved him in one of the Justice League films. I think it was the Aquaman one.
Yeah, he definitely did it in one. I don't remember which one, yeah.
So he's now working with Dr. Stone. The Apocalyptian metal is laced with alloys from Earth, which has made it stronger. There are precisely three places that could have done this: Star Labs, Wayne Tech, or LexCorp.
More importantly,
I wonder who we're going to think done it.
Steel is wearing. Oh, sorry, John Henry Irons.
Yeah,
not Steel yet.
Yeah, is wearing a Superman shirt.
Yes.
There's like funny character moments in this, which I like. So I want to point out this is written by Peter Tomasi, who's a really good writer, he did a Superman run just before this movie came out, which was really well regarded, not by me, but you know, he is a really great writer, so I think it really shows. Like, I think the writing in this movie is generally really strong, especially compared to some other movies which will be coming up where like they don't have comic writers on them, good writers.
Is this the film where they just go, "Oh, do you remember this character? They're dead now."
No, not that one.
Oh, are you talking about the one in between? Well,
oh my god! We stopped doing spoilers for me.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm not mentioning which one I don't like because I don't want to color anyone's perceptions going forward. But after you watch it, you'll know if I like it or not. So, you know.
So Superman goes and confronts Luthor. Luthor is wearing an ankle tag with jewelry that's meant to look like kryptonite but isn't.
Yeah. Is it a little weird?
It's meant to look like kryptonite. He says it specifically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's not actually kryptonite for whatever reason. So.
Also, this is maybe a bit of stunt casting because it's Rainn Wilson.
Mhm.
Yeah, I was fine with it this time, but at the time I thought like it was pretty crummy casting.
I didn't think it was great, to be honest. I thought some of the voices in this overall were not as good as other stuff we've seen.
Yeah, because it's Jerry O'Connell playing Superman. He's okay.
He wasn't great, and I thought that kind of generally. So.
And same with because the Lois Lane's Rebecca Romijn.
Mm-hmm.
They are married in real life.
Are they? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny they play Superman.
It is
Lois.
Kind of funny, but. Didn't really like. I thought, well, I didn't dislike her voice. I didn't like the characterization of Lois as much in this.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I just thought she was really mean to Clark. Like, this is one of those instances where she's really kind of comes down hard on him.
I'm not with her, but at the same time, when she, you know, she's like, "We're going on holiday." I literally moved a meeting with the Secretary of State. Clark knows this, and then he bails anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be frustrating. but maybe I'm like, compare this Lois to like Superman the movie, where she may as well just be like kicking him in the groin.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that's good either, but I don't know. I just thought like after introduced to his parents, and then she was a bit crappy about the reveal and things like that. I don't know.
Well, we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Lex doesn't quite deny that he was responsible for the alloy, but it's kind of left hanging a wee bit. I'm assuming it's something that comes up, well, from what I know about the sequel, I think it's something that gets addressed there, but I don't know. I've not seen Reign of the Superman. And meanwhile, Cat Grant has figured out that Lois is dating Clark.
We need to mention the most important part of the Lex scene, and that's his facial reaction when Superman says, "People don't love you because you hate me."
Yeah.
And then
just
cuts that shot of his face. Cat Grant, so I'm pretty sure I saw something somewhere. She was white. Like, when they designed her character, she was white, and then they just painted it black.
I can see what I mean. I know a lot of the characters look very samey in this series anyway. They do use, like, I'm sure I've seen some of the face models on other characters before.
Yeah, because she looks off to me, and I think that's why.
I thought they all looked a bit off, to be honest. I didn't like the Superman model either.
Yeah, I think it is the same Superman model that we've had the whole time, to be fair.
Is it? I don't think so. He looked like he had no neck.
I'm pretty sure it's the same suit. Yeah.
I don't mean suit, I meant how the actual body looked.
Right.
But maybe I'm wrong, but I just didn't like it.
To be fair, he's an alien.
That's fine. I don't mind that. I'm just saying, I'm sure I've seen nicer version, like ones I've enjoyed, I thought were nicer looking than this one, is all I'm saying. It's not like, oh, it was dreadful, it was just not my favourite drawing of Superman.
to go forward a wee bit, I do like that Martian Manhunter does actually look alien and not just a human with green skin.
I mean, he does that deliberately, though.
Yeah.
Like, he looks human deliberately, I should say.
So, anyhow, we have a... We follow a random set of astronauts, one of whom is Hank Henshaw.
He's voiced by someone great.
He's voiced of Better Call Saul fame.
You can tell me and Connor have discussed this playing, before.
Who plays the best character, the protagonist, Howard Hamlin. And he is also plays a great character in a film called The Last Exorcism as well. They're the two things I've seen.
We're big fans of him. And, yes.
I've never watched any of the Breaking Bad Better Call Saul.
Like, so I've just finished it. Connor was always like, I watched the first two seasons of Better Call Saul, then I kind of lost track or cancelled Netflix or something. And that since that moment, Connor has been on me to catch up. Right. So he watched the rest of the six seasons, and then I went back and watched it all. So he's had to have me watching it way behind him.
Right.
You caught up real quick though. So.
I did. I was on a mission. I just say that this is why we have to flag that voice, because
yeah,
it's a big deal.
So basically there is a scene here where an asteroid is boom tubed into space. It destroys the station that Hank Henshaw and his family are on, including his wife gets spaced right in front of him.
Yep.
And he's the whole time he's like, but Superman will save us. And then Superman doesn't save them because he's busy.
Yeah, he's doing something else. I thought it was a good scene.
Yeah, it was.
Whilst this is happening, Lex is watching, because Lex can take his ankle bracelet off very easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that they do establish that one, Lex Luthor is a genius, and two, he's an absolute asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the best mix is when he's the sort of 80s corporate fat cat, but also a genius. Like when he's both. I really like that. Yeah. And I wasn't big on the voice for Lex, but I thought the writing for Lex was very good.
I agree.
Absolutely. He's like, oh, I'm glad someone understands this, but it's not you.
So, we also see that the meteor burns up in the atmosphere, and that there's something tied to it.
What could that be?
So
maybe it's Bizarro.
Maybe.
I mean, to be fair, if you've never heard of Death, and I know it's, if you've never heard of Death of Superman, the comic book, you might actually go, I don't know who that is.
I didn't know who it was.
Well, this is.
It took until they named him that I was sure, because I was like going, I don't know what he's supposed to look like. I'm just saying, I'm happy to admit that I was literally on the verge of getting in touch with Connor and saying, who is this? And then felt a bit stupid, but I was like going, I don't know if I do remember what Doomsday looks like.
It doesn't matter if you don't know what he looks like. Then you could tell.
I mean, I did feel a bit stupid then, that I didn't guess that was probably who it was, right. But you know, like, not that bad.
Well, I've talked with other people, so this is one of Tyler from Krypton Report. I don't know if he's been on here, but this is one of his favorites. Like, he thinks this is better than the comic.
Okay.
I've said before, I think the comic's really good if you've read everything up to it.
Yeah.
And it's less good if you just jump into it. But the other thing is, I think this is a better introduction to the Death of Superman idea than the comic is.
Right.
Because this doesn't really come with any baggage. Like, the baggage it does come with is Superman's in a weird suit, and the Justice League are there. But odds are you're going to know who, like, the Flash is. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're the comic, you're not going to know who Fire and Ice are, Guy Gardner, Booster Gold.
No, no. Diana talks about dating him, which is...
Yeah.
And you're not going to know...
Well,
like,
what they're doing is they're going, yes, Superman and Wonder Woman were dating, no, yeah, they're not. It's okay for Superman to flirt with Lois.
What?
He's terrible with Wonder Woman anyway.
Superman fans also need to realise that he is allowed to date people before he marries Lois Lane.
Oh, 100%. You know, I just don't like him with Diana.
Yeah, I thought they were quite good in their series together.
I liked it when she was joking about not wanting to call himself Wonder Man, though. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, we then get a cameo from the Atlanteans, because Star Labs tips off Lex. And again, another instance of Lex being quite intelligent and going, I will cure your son if you give me information. So Lufa sends a submarine to investigate where the meteor landed. The Atlanteans also are there because something hit their ocean and they're not very happy about it.
Mm.
And then we get our introduction to Doomsday. At this point, wearing a green diver's suit that seems mm-hmm. to selectively get damaged when it's convenient for plot.
So the it's similar to the original series. He started off in this sort of green suit, but he actually started off with an arm tied behind his back. So he was, like, just to hype him up even more, he only had one arm tied behind his back, and he took out the Justice League. And he was slowly, his appearance was slowly revealed over the course of the 12 issues or whatever, and I don't think he was fully revealed until, like, near the end, I want to say.
Yeah.
So they sort of did a similar thing in the movie where his suit comes off over time.
Mm-hmm. So once this happens, there is a Justice League meeting. It's all the kind of members we've met before. I can't remember if Hawkman and Martian Manhunter have turned up before.
I'm pretty sure they did not, because I remember people talking about it at the time.
So they just turn up, so they're there now.
And there's no... So they're there, and there's no Captain Marvel there.
Shazam.
Like, he's... yeah, whatever.
In this series, he is Shazam.
Well, because I've just been reading books.
Yeah, we know what
books.
You mean.
Then. Yeah.
The books I've been reading, he's been called Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
yeah. I still find it hilarious we've got two Captain Marvel movies in 2 months.
Mm. But yeah, he's not there. So that was just... It just felt like a weird choice.
It's because Sean Astin's expensive, man.
He doesn't have to say anything. Like, I don't think Hawkman says anything.
Hawkman doesn't say anything. Mira, Alfred Pennyworth, Damian Wayne, and Kate Kane all appear in non-speaking cameos in this film.
Yeah.
Non-speaking cameos.
Yeah. Which is good, for we couldn't really be bothered to pay someone to do 2 lines. So... we get a gag because Batman is going to a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
Because he's actually a dad now.
Yeah.
And we get a very obvious analogy. Of course Iris knows who the Flash is.
Yeah. Well, because why wouldn't she?
Exactly. Also, I do love... I still love Christopher Gorham as Flash. He's very good.
I agree. He was a standout voice in this for me. And I like him anyway, but I think of all the voices, I really did enjoy that one.
I think he's one of the few to keep the casting from Justice League War.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and Jason Amara who plays Batman, and I think that's a... Oh, Shamar Moore as well as Cyborg.
Yeah. I like Jason Momoa as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. So, we then get Clark and Lois meeting Clark's parents. We get hints that Clark... At first I thought they were going to... They were going to accidentally give away that Clark had dated Wonder Woman or something like that, and that was what this was leading to, but no, it's just... No. Clark's dated other people.
Well, one of the people they talk about is a mermaid.
Oh, really?
Lana, yeah, but Laurie Lamaris, they say she's on the swim team and she was a real catch and she's a mermaid. So
that was fun. I'm much more interested in him dating a mermaid.
Yeah, that's a thing that's happened.
Oh, you have to show me that one at some point.
Yeah.
And Lois gets really annoyed because Clark is obviously keeping secrets from her.
Yeah, like, she's not keeping secrets from... I mean, she probably isn't, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like people keeping secrets.
So...
Because she's an investigative journalist.
We then get a quick cameo with Aquaman, basically just giving a hint that this creature has attracted people's attention already, and that it's not hard to find because it's leaving a big stomping trail of destruction behind it. We then get it easily destroying a bear.
Well, there's a small moment there. Aquaman reports into Cyborg, and then Cyborg says, "I'm sorry for your loss." And that really could have easily just been a, "Oh, he was here, he killed everyone, okay, bye." But like, they just, the fact that they put in effort to add these little moments,
there is definitely a level of care to this film that, because there's been a few times, it's weird with the DCMU, there's some films it's quite clear they're phoning it in, and then you'll get something like, I actually think the Suicide Squad was very good for this, in that there were little hints and there was a lot of the world feels lived in.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, there'll be other films coming up soon that you're like, oh no, this is just we want to do a fun story.
But yeah, I remember at the time they definitely tried with this one. Mm-hmm. This was pretty like advertised, and again they got Peter Tomasi to write it, so you know, they wanted goodwill and they wanted this one to be good because they wanted to win people over. And like this one, Superman is acting very Superman-y, whereas like in the Justice League films he's like, he's fine but he doesn't really do much.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no real warmth to him in the Justice League films. He sort of flies around punching people,
particularly in Justice League War, where the first time he actually says a word is when Batman goes, "No, I know who you are." Cat goes to get the goths, and Lois bumps into Clark, and they agree to meet for lunch.
Oh, Cat was annoying. Why do you have to know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's none of your business.
It was none of her business. Again, journalists need to know everything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we get the start of Doomsday finally having some actual competition. Definitely not the police who opened fire on a gas station.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
It's not like anyone was there, at least.
I mean, don't be wrong. I can believe American police would be that stupid, but still.
Yeah.
I
did like how Clark was like, "Do you need me?" And Wonder Woman's like, "No, we got it."
Yeah,
that's going to go wrong.
that becomes very clear very quickly, because Hawkman... So Hawkman manages to damage the suit.
Yeah.
Green Lantern doesn't even do that. And then Flash actually gets close to doing damage. Unfortunately, all it takes is for him to get tagged once and he's out.
I liked Flash. I thought he was good. He was like smart about it.
Yeah.
I feel like in the comics, like, because in the comic, Guy Gardner is like the last person standing along with Superman. Yeah. So I feel like Hal, like, because Hal's so powerful, he should have gotten a, I think he should have done a bit better against Doomsday in this. But, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's more just, we need to establish a level very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
We then start, Batman takes far longer than should be necessary to be crushed.
Yeah, they gotta please him.
Yeah.
All the Batman.
Yeah, he's gotta have pot an smokers important that'll watch it. Part in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Be like, whoa, Batman's cool. He's lasting longer than like the Justice League against Doomsday.
To be fair, I could see why he would last longer than. Hawkman and Green Lantern are both just kind of going in. I can't see why he didn't last as long as, or why Flash lasted less time than Batman, but...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't actually annoy me that much, because, like, Batman's just distracting him. He's not, like, trying to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's a little bit ludicrous that Doomsday can't catch up to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Doomsday, I'm pretty sure, is super fast, so...
So they do... Whilst this is happening, there's also... There are hints that Lex Luthor is doing some sort of genetic experimentation.
What a shock. Mm.
And, oh, there is a humanoid-looking clone. I wonder what that's going to tie into.
Well, to be fair...
Spoilers.
I won't spoil anything. For the
end credits of this film.
If you weren't familiar with... some new 52 designs at this point, you wouldn't really know what that's about.
Yeah.
Or if you weren't intimately familiar with the storyline. And a lot of people are familiar with the Death storyline, but nothing afterwards.
So, meanwhile, we get the scene. We get the Superman confesses that he's Superman to Lois.
Well.
She at first doesn't believe him till he takes his glasses off and straightens up. And then she gets angry, which is an understandable reaction.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Olsen calls Lois. Oh, this is all taking part in Bibbo's new restaurant.
Of course.
Yeah, Bibbo's like Rocky. He just sort of talks to people who come to eat. And, like, never stops talking.
And then Lois looks away as Jimmy explains what's happening. Superman does the scene where he runs at the camera, ripping his shirt off. Because we have to get that in at some point.
Oh, come on. That's a great moment.
I know. I know.
Superman's marching off to battle. You know, that's like him suiting up and getting on his horse. Yeah, is that shirt is ripped?
Did he have to confess his love on a piece of paper, though?
Well, I mean, guys, in a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he goes out, he could die as well. So it's like, well, yeah, maybe I'll just leave this as little insurance. And it turns out, hey, it's probably the smart move in this case. And that's so Superman as well, because this whole movie he's been like avoiding everything, right? So writing that on a piece of paper kind of fits in.
So we cut back to Cyborg getting his arm ripped off.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because Batman's still going, but we have to get through every other member of the Justice League. Martian Manhunter and Aquaman are getting beaten up.
But at least they're all attacking him at the same time this time. Before, like, Hawkman, Green Lantern, and Flash just went one by one and didn't go at the same time, and, you know, that didn't go too well.
And then Martian Manhunter just makes Doomsday mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then gets thrown into a gas station set on fire.
To be fair... Martian Manhunter had the situation under control, and then Batman got him thrown into that station.
Of course he did.
Because because Doomsday can't hit Martian Manhunter, so he goes after Batman, and then Martian Manhunter's like, no, don't go after Batman, and he gets thrown into the gas station. So.
Yeah. And Batman is finally knocked out.
Yeah.
Doomsday, instead of doing what he's done everyone else in this movie, he's gone back and gone, okay, great, you die now. He just goes, nah, can't be bothered, off, I'm away now. And Wonder Woman leaves in pursuit.
Oh yeah, yeah, she's like buried under a car, so she was there too, fighting. Because for a second I was like, wait, where's Wonder Woman?
And to be fair, she manages to last longer than anyone else has so far against Doomsday.
That's true.
Yeah.
So they're at least they're building up. No, she is like the second most powerful. Though.
Which again should be Hal Jordan, but they're pushing the new trinity of Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman, so, you know.
Well, they seem to more want Green Lantern as kind of a wee bit of a joke character that they've cast Nathan Fillion in the role, which he doesn't seem to have changed as a character much since Justice League War.
Yeah.
He just seems to kind of be that. Also, didn't John Stewart show up in one recently? Where'd he go?
Yeah,
they don't really... Because I don't even think there's a Green Lantern film in this continuity.
It's just like the Trinity used to be Superman, Batman, and like probably like the Flash, Aquaman, or Green Lantern. Like that would have been the Trinity. But at some point they really started pushing Wonder Woman. And coincidentally, she got a real boost power-wise as well. She was never like this powerful for a long time. But now she's like borderline Superman level.
Is it maybe that they did a bit of this internalized no one likes Green Lantern because movie?
No, I think she was pushed before that. I don't think
it should
that.
Be, but could it? But
she was definitely pushed before the Green Lantern movie.
I think so, yeah.
But it was a real 2000s thing when it did start to be this idea of the DC Trinity.
I think it's definitely very much when they, you know, realised they didn't have that many female characters, and she's so high profile.
Is that why Harley started getting pushed in a bit more as well, or...?
I think Harley's because Harley was genuinely a breakout character.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, she was genuinely popular.
Sure she was created as female because there are not that many female characters. It's easier to create new ones.
Created because Paul Dini wanted to give his mate a job.
Oh, really?
Harley Quinn was meant to be a one-shot henchwoman, and he wanted to give Arlene Sorkin a gig.
Interesting.
And then he got really attached to the character and kept using her.
I mean, I think she outsells everyone but Batman. In general, which is why, like, it's James Gunn posted some update, and it's like, you know, all these heroes such as like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, blah blah, and then just like Harley Quinn at the end, and I was like, one of these is not like the other. It's like the core Justice League and Harley Quinn.
I mean, to be fair, he just did the last Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen Black Adam?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's a rock film, isn't it? It's just a generic rock film.
Well, I haven't really seen many rock films, so I don't really know what a rock film is. As a film, it's average, but I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, it's great fun, but it's also...
I thought he was good as Black Adam until, like, the very ending.
Yeah. I take it you liked the post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah, I think everyone did.
Yeah. The one thing I did find weird, because I don't know much, but Dr. Fate and Hawkman have ties to ancient Egypt as well, right?
Hawkman definitely does. I don't know that much about Dr. Fate, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Because that's... I would have thought one... They would have done something with that, but... Oh, well.
Well, Kandak is fictional, so I guess, yeah, it's not Egypt.
It's not Egypt, but it's Egypt.
The weird thing... actually, I won't say anything. Yeah, because Rebecca hasn't seen it yet. Yeah. So...
Yeah. Hopefully this weekend.
Hmm. Get ready for a mediocre, fun ride.
It's... Have you seen a movie starring The Rock?
Well, yes, I have, but it is quite different. Like, I know you say that, but it's not going to be like Fast and the Furious. You know what I mean? It's like... I've only seen that in, like, the Jumanji ones.
Okay.
So, I don't think it's going to be exactly like either of those, but I get what you mean, like, generic action I'm going for, so...
He's playing the same character as Fast and Furious.
Of course he is. I mean, like, I can tell that from the trailer. Like, you know,
I think it's become very clear now. The Rock is the third best wrestler turned actor.
I mean, he's...
I don't know. I thought The Rock, like, as I said, for that first, like, half or so, I thought he was a good Black Adam.
Oh, I think he's a good Black Adam. I think it's maybe hinting at his ego that he's wanting Superman versus Black Adam and not Shazam versus Black Adam, but there you go.
I
think it's also fan-led. I think, like, he saw the...
No, it's definitely the fan thing, because the guy, like, he's an entertainer.
Uh-huh.
You know, people have been harassing him like for years. Like, we want Superman versus Black Adam, and he's like posted photos of Henry Cavill. So I don't think that's an ego thing. There might be other things in the movie that's an ego thing, but that's not it.
Anyway, we've stopped talking about the death of Superman.
Tangentially related. Yep.
So. We're about 20 minutes to go in the film. We finally get to what we're here for. As there is genuinely a brilliant fight.
Yep.
I think this is a fantastic fight.
I told Rebecca before, like, all the budget clearly went into this fight.
Oh, because absolutely.
I'll mention it now. A lot of the film before this looked like potato. Like, Lois's necklace looked like it was glued onto her.
I now understand, like, why you messaged me with potato the other day. Like, for some reason, like, it's all comes clear now.
Now there's, like, shading and lighting and, like, all this, you know, dynamic movement. Yeah.
So, also, very early on, one Doomsday out of nowhere... gets laser eyes. It's certainly I know it's something that's happened with the character in other occasions, but is that something he has, or does he absorb people's power? What actually causes that?
It didn't happen in the original story. I took that as like a reference to BVS Doomsday.
Right. Okay.
Because in this fight there's a lot of like direct shots you can take from Man of Steel and Batman v Superman in the action.
Mm-hmm.
They paid a lot of visual lip service to those movies.
Also, you can tell this fight's serious because within 5 seconds, Superman's bleeding.
Yeah.
And properly bleeding. Like, it's not like, oh, there's a little... No, it's a gusher.
Mm.
It's a gusher.
Meanwhile, Lex Luthor is getting into his suit.
Yeah.
There's an extended fight on a suspension bridge. Superman saves a child.
I think the best part of that was a little bit much for me, like how he was able to just talk to the kid for like 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what's Doomsday doing? Is he just standing there waiting? But I think the best part of that fight for me is, like, you sort of, from, like, the mother's point of view in the car, you see them both fighting, and it's just really fast and intense.
Uh-huh.
Just like how a normal person would see it. And also when he sort of stops the car being thrown into the other car by, like, putting himself in between.
Yeah.
I just thought a really good dynamic moments.
So, after they come off the bridge, Doomsday's just starting to come out on top. In general, he then throws Superman at the helicopter that Lois and Jimmy are in.
Yeah.
Is Jimmy flying this helicopter?
Who's no. They show a pilot, and he's like, as he sees the as he sees Superman fly towards him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Superman saves the helicopter. Lois is kind of begging him that you're going to die.
Yeah.
And you can Lois. There is no one else.
Yeah, it's a good line when she's like, "You got to call on the cavalry." And he's like, "I'm the cavalry."
Yeah, that was a great line.
So. Yeah.
And that was a part of the trailer. He's like, you know, I have work to do. And that was a cool bit.
Superman decides to try and juggle Doomsday in the air. That fails badly.
Yeah. That shot of, like, sort of the juggle punch was first in Man of Steel, and then they put it in Injustice 2.
Yep.
And now it's in this movie, and it was also in Superman and Lois. They love visually referencing that. Because say what you will about the Zack Snyder movies, they revolutionized the way you show Superman fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The way, like, the movement, like, how fast they move and super speed and, like, how they fly and stuff. So it's, like, in terms of Superman action scenes, we're in, like, this cool little renaissance right now, because even Superman and Lois has had great action scenes. Mm. You know, those are some of the best parts of the show.
No, Snyder knows how to frame an action scene. That's never been my problem with Zack Snyder. I still think it's the best Batman fight is Batman versus Superman in that warehouse. Maybe a little bit too killy, but other than that... And you can tell that even the Batman, it's very clear that there's influences of Snyder in that as well, in the fight scenes.
I think I felt like that fight scene felt like the Arkham games.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And like, I mean, they're definitely better than the, like, I don't think before BBS, I don't know if Batman's had any good live action fights. They've all been pretty shocking.
Well,
he's definitely had good movies.
Particularly good at fight scenes in general, and they couldn't move for any of the other ones.
Yeah.
They were in a giant rubber suit.
Like, Nolan just should have gotten a different director to do his fights. Just get, like, a martial arts director to come in and, you know.
So, from there we get, so Lex comes in and manages to distract Doomsday for long enough for Superman to get a little rest.
I love the design. Like, he just has to have his face plastered there. Just as in, like, look at me, you know?
Also, Superman saves Lex Luthor.
Yeah. And probably the funniest part of the movie is when Lex goes, no!
I was meant to win!
Funny.
Okay, that's 2 hours since I've put my car in for its MOT. The fact that I've not called is a little worrying. So after Lex is out of the picture, Doomsday and Superman, we get to the final few blows. Doomsday actually looks winded for the first time.
Yeah.
The cape gets ripped, so we get the scene of the cape in the wind later, and just
because he's choking him with the cape, which is pretty brutal.
Yes.
It's a real bar brawl at that point.
What is Frozen Rocket Doomsday?
That, I thought, actually, that was such a great moment. Like, oh, you're in the middle of this.
Brilliant.
I agree as well. It's just, action. That sort of desperation almost as well.
This little rock just bounces off him. Mm-hmm. And, like, she knows it doesn't do anything. She just wants his attention, and she doesn't even bother throwing the next rock. And, like, I guess that, like, I think that's such a great Lois Lane moment, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of my favorite Lois moments, I guess, because she's not. Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. And she, at this point, she declares her love to Superman, and then Superman punches Doomsday so hard his head inverts.
Yeah, he like flies in, like he's just flying into him at full speed. Which like they haven't done that before. So I thought I was watching it and I saw him flying to him and I was like, oh, and then his head continues to turn.
Yes.
It's like, oh, and I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Though in whilst doing that he gets impaled.
Yeah. Which is how he dies in BVS, but not in the original story.
Oh, really?
Really?
Does he get snapped in the original story?
No, they just beat each other to death.
Oh, no, I am only saying that because when I told somebody this morning that I was watching Death of Superman, did they say that he said he gets stabbed and then he dies? And I said, I don't know, he hasn't died yet. So I just wondered if that's why. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess just being impaled is being stabbed, but it's not, you know.
Yeah.
I thought they meant just, with a sword.
Succumbing to his wounds.
Yeah.
But, well, the original stab thing was because it was an Excalibur reference.
Right.
That makes sense.
And then they, which I approve of, thumbs up, Excalibur's awesome. And yeah, I guess they just did it here, and I'm cool with that being stabbed as because like it's a nice little shock moment. Mm-hmm. You see him sort of, I guess it looks a bit like a Elektra in that famous cover.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Plus the cape's cut concealing what's happening at first.
Exactly, it's not like gory, you know. Yeah. I mean, it is gory, but like, yeah, the cape is like a tasteful touch.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't go into gratuitous levels.
Not in this film, no.
No, yeah.
Flashpoint, for example, was very gratuitous. So we then get a scene of basically the whole world reacting to this.
Yeah.
Which is good, and it's good that they actually go, no, this is a huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
We get Superman's funeral. Batman isn't there. Because he's getting a hug from Damian. Which is weird when you consider Damian's character arc up until this point.
Yeah. Really weird.
I can't remember well enough. I have seen all those movies, I just don't remember where they were at that point. But I get that Batman's not like a public person, so I get him not showing up.
But even Bruce Wayne, you know, it's a big event on the world scale, but yeah.
I mean, he's clearly mourning, like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't pop up in the comic either, but he does wear a black armband in his own comic, because that was a whole gimmick, because in all the other comics, the heroes are wearing black armbands for a little bit.
Yeah. So, Lex Luthor speaks at the funeral.
I thought that was great, his little speech. It's like, oh, we'd always have these lovely chats, he'd always stop by and impart wisdom.
That's, okay. Because obviously that's the other thing, is Lex was beaten off screen.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Look, they never actually had, look, I think it was, there was maybe like, it was like the opening cut scene to one of the films or something was the Justice League defeating Lex.
Mm-hmm.
I also likes the wrong term here. The fact that Ma and Pa Kent can't actually get close to their own son's funeral.
That's so sad. I thought Lois was going to come and intercede on their behalf.
Yeah.
But then she didn't.
Yeah. So... I really like that. It's one of my favourite moments from the comic is like, they can't attend their own son's funeral.
Yeah.
Because it's like a huge state thing and they can't tell them Clark is our son. So they can't even get into, like, see the coffin, you know. Mm-hmm. So I like how they paid service to that in this. And, like, it's a sad moment. You know?
It is. But I liked it, you know, it did make sense. Mm.
We then cut to Bibbo being angry with God. Because how am I alive and Superman's not?
Yeah.
And then we start the work on building to the next few films. Lex wants the corpse of Doomsday to be given to Cadmus. Cadmus is, and also it's established Lex has been cleared of all wrongdoing.
Of course.
Meanwhile, the Kryptonian ship disappears. Lois is then called because the body of Superman has disappeared.
And
there was a silhouette of Superman.
Is a huge problem for me, ending the movie on that note. Like, Jesus, he's been dead for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was really fast.
You know, in the comics,
it's not Superman, spoiler alert, that they see the shadow of, it's someone else.
But they shouldn't even, Lois shouldn't even see the possibility that it might be him. Like, there needs to be, you need to, like, the four post-credit scenes would have been fine. They didn't need to show everyone thinking, oh, maybe he's back, because, like, for me, the most interesting part of this, because it's a trilogy, death, funeral for a friend, and then rain. The most interesting part to me was always the part where he was dead and everyone reacting to it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and then trying to fill in the gaps in rain, but like, people think he might be back so quickly.
I mean, you don't have a moment to even think about him being dead.
Yeah. And like, they reconcile that a bit in rain, as far as I remember, but like, ending the film on this note put a sour taste in my mouth.
Mm.
It should have just ended with the funeral. Like,
I think it would have been more impactful if it had.
Yeah,
and if they need to, they can do something as a tag scene at the end of the credits, because that's at least not straight part in the film. The person, one of the people most affected by it, automatically has a bit of hope.
Well,
yeah.
You say you know, that, like, there are four post-credit stings.
Yeah.
Mm. I loved all of them. I thought that was really clever. To do four.
So, just to go through them in order, the humanoid-shaped clone escapes its tank in LexCorp.
Mm-hmm.
A man who I don't think we see that it's John Henry Irons, but it's John Henry Irons, is building a suit with a Superman logo. The Fortress of Solitude forms with the silhouette of Superman in front of it, and a robot-looking Superman flies at the camera in space.
Space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect setup for rain. You don't need the stuff before that.
Absolutely. So that is the next film coming up in the DC AMU. We've got four DCAMU films left, because what happens is they have Reign of Superman, and the end of that then sets up Dark War Apocalypse, but then they go, oh wait, we wanted to get a Wonder Woman movie first, so there's a prequel Wonder Woman movie, And we wanted to get another Batman film in, so we get an adaptation of Batman Hush.
Oh, really?
Well, I say that
We can't not have another Batman movie.
A film that has Hush, the character, in it.
Right. Okay.
I mean, yeah, if Wonder Woman gets one movie, then Batman clearly needs to get six.
At least.
Five wasn't enough.
I think there is about five or six Batman movies out of... So this is the 11th DC movie.
Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating.
Film, I think half of them are Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact,
was,
the only character I think is more featured than Batman is maybe Robin. Because Robin gets a lot of focus in all the Batman films. And Teen Titans, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is... we've got a few films before we get to Reign of the Supermen. Because Reign of the Supermen is actually the fifth movie that we've got coming up.
All right, so what's next?
Tell Life fourth. So next up is Constantine City of Demons.
Hooray!
Ooh. Which might be set in this universe as well.
It's
not quite clear.
If it's not clear, it doesn't really matter then, right?
It doesn't matter. Like,
because originally it was meant to tie into the Constantine TV series. Apparently. Then they realised, why are we tying into something that's dead? No matter how sad Alan is about that fact.
Yeah, it doesn't work with the TV show.
Yeah.
But it does have the same voice actor for...
Matt Ryan basically seems to be doing Constantine everywhere apart from the Keanu Reeves film.
And Sandman.
Yeah.
And Sandman, but that's... Well, the isn't there... That's a copyrights thing? Like, they can't actually have John Constantine in it?
I heard something about that.
But, like, right, either way.
Yeah. He deserves to be in there. I think he's great.
Should be in it, but I think it might be because he's so tied into DC now. And I know that Warner Brothers and Netflix don't really play well together. Warner Brothers and anyone don't play well together.
Netflix and anyone doesn't play well together.
Yeah, I was going to say, Netflix doesn't really play together with anyone.
Yeah. Including their own staff. So after that, we've got two Aquaman-related films. We've got Lego DC Comics Superheroes, Aquaman Rage of Atlantis. And we've got DC Superhero Girls Legends of Atlantis.
Oh, great.
Which... I originally thought was the last DC Superhero Girls film.
Oh no, you told me it was.
I'm wrong.
Oh no.
There's one more.
Wow.
Because there is a film that was
split up the podcast now.
That was the first four episodes of the animated series as one film. Because I was like, we're almost done. And then literally yesterday, I was double checking the list. I was like, oh no, that was released as a film.
Mm-hmm.
Much like there's an Aquaman, the three part Aquaman TV series thing. That also was released as a film.
Sorry.
Yeah. On the plus side, I did also confirm...
Waiting for the plus side.
On the plus side, we're not watching Space Jam anymore. I've decided we're just going to cut that. Because there's a movie that's basically a commentary track from the Teen Titans of Space Jam. Yeah, not touching that.
I don't even understand what that sentence means, but I'm more than happy to not watch it.
They aired on Cartoon Network Space Jam, but the Teen Titans Go were doing a commentary for it.
Yeah, that isn't a film. Exclude that.
It gets counted on all the lists, but I'm taking it off.
Okay.
Because that's dumb.
Yes.
Not that that stopped us before, admittedly.
Stopped us a little bit before.
On the plus side, at least Superhero Girls Sweet Justice delays a Timverse film. Because that's what's coming up afterwards. Yeah, and as I said, we've also got Reign of the Superman in there as well. So that's one thing. The box set that you showed us, Connor, does that include Reign of the Superman on it? Or was that just Death of Superman?
No, that's the one that came out before Reign of the Superman came out. Right, so that was like a pre-order. You get this neat little figure.
Right.
And I think for Reign, you got Steel. Or like the complete collection, you got Steel as a figure.
Right.
But I don't have that one yet.
Anyway, that's what's all coming out. So we will be back in a couple of weeks' time. Meanwhile, Connor, where else can we find you?
So as usual, you can find me on Sons of the Dragon and the Immortal Iron Fist podcast. We're just, you know, covering all sorts of old stuff at the moment because I think you're coming out, thank God. And episode 100 of Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast, just dropped. So going forward, I'm just having a bunch of guests on for a little bit. And yeah, check that out as well.
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
We haven't done Death of Superman on there, despite the fact that it was just the 30th anniversary because I'm not doing it. So there you go.
We'll do it eventually, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And Rebecca, have you appeared on any of our podcasts recently?
No, because I've been on holiday for 3 weeks.
Hooray!
But I'm sure I'll be returning. I'm sure the next time you ask me.
Yeah.
I've
on the plus side, it won't be this weekend.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it won't be this weekend.
That's good, because I'd probably say no. I've had a very full-on time since I got back, so I'm...
Fair enough. So, meanwhile, the only podcast I'm appearing on is Rise of the Robots, which, that's... we are... By the time this comes out, we'll be getting into the last couple of weeks of BattleBots Season 4.0, which means we will finally be on to 2002.
Wow.
We did the maths, because unfortunately Grizz has found some new series that we were meant to cover. To do everything we've got left, if nothing else comes out, which we know is not happening because there's another series of BattleBots that's been filmed, we should be done with everything that's currently gone out in 8 years' time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't think that was that much yet.
There's BattleBots, Robot Wars, Techno Games, Robotica, ClashBots, This Is Robots, and then a bunch of smaller series.
Yeah.
There are two series of television we're covering that are 20 weeks long.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. And one of those is another world championship, Rebecca.
Oh, well, maybe do it when I'm not sick this time. And,
I'll try my best!
I was so ill that time.
Superman will probably die again in that time.
I was so ill, Connor. I was just like,
I remember.
I had to like beg off. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But I hear you. I hear you.
On the plus side, it's only 45 minutes.
Well, I mean that means nothing because, as we know, that it will probably be a 3-hour podcast.
I promise it won't.
No, I'm pretty sure that you said that last time.
We won't have any other guests on this time,
we'll
I promise.
No, you can have guests. We'll see what happens. But yeah, tell me when you get that.
Anyway. Anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with Constantine.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.